Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord, and he headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone down below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he'd already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it's my fault, and this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. And at this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. God is good
all the time.
He's a good God. He's worthy of our praise. I hope you enjoyed the worship. And I pray that this story of Jonah will inspire us. Are there times when the mind and the heart speak differently in your life? You hear this saying this, you hear something else. Who do you listen to? When you want to know God's mind, is it your mind or is it your heart? So we're going to see Jonah here. And the story of Jonah, and then we will know who did he listen to. So the story of Jonah is not merely a story about Jonah being swallowed by a fish, a great fish. It's a nice story to listen to, especially in children's church and Sunday school. It's a nice story that we've always heard. He was swallowed by this big fish, and for 3 days and three nights. It is a story about God's love for his people. He loves everyone, but does not like sin. It has a lesson for us as well that reminds us to be concerned about our most hated enemies and bring them to repentance. Do you love your enemies? God wants us to love them. Paul wrote this to remind the church at Ephesus to be spiritually strong, and that the true enemy is Satan himself. Christians also have enemies, those people that hurt us or hurt our loved ones. It's not them. It is the spiritual. Everything that we see happen starts in the spiritual realm before it's manifested. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach against it, because their wickedness has come up before me." So Nineveh was a capital city of the Assyrian Empire, and is situated on the east bank of Tigris River, and that is in Iraq at the moment. That's where it was located. These people were not good people. They were enemies of the Jews. They were enemies of Israel. They invaded the northern kingdom and exiled the ten tribes of Israel. So they were great enemies of the Jews. Jonah, the son of Amittai, was a great prophet during the time of Jeroboam II. He did not want to carry God's mission simply because he did not like the Assyrians, because they were enemies of his people. They were ruthless. Because Nineveh was so powerful and was a bitter enemy of Israel, Jonah thought, if it should succeed, it would continue to be a threat to our nation. It would continue to be a threat to Israel. He didn't want God to show them mercy. But our God is so merciful that his mercy is for all of his creation. It doesn't matter who, even the great sinners, God loves them. God is love and commands us to love our enemies. So Jonah was a prophet. A prophet is supposed to carry God's message, to carry God's word. And not his own. It shouldn't have been his own ways. It should have been God's ways. Because he's a prophet. But Jonah made a choice. So Jonah decided to go to Joppa and take a ship to Tarshish, which was the opposite direction. God is saying, go this way. He decides to go this way. He paid his fare and boarded the ship, knowing that he was going to go as far as possible from God. Where can you hide from God? Actually, my message is titled, "Where Can You Run From God?" Jonah thought he was wise and used his own understanding. So who did he listen to? He listened to God, but then made his choice to go his way. The psalmist in Psalm 139 says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar." Verse 9 says, "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." Where can you run away from God when God calls you? Jonah had a plan. Jonah did not want his plan to be disrupted. I'm sure he had plans for his future. But God says, no, go. Go to my people. These people, I love them so much. Go and tell them to repent, to turn away from their wicked ways. We see God interrupting Abraham. when in Genesis 2, the word of the Lord came to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make you your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And Abraham obeyed. Abraham left his people, his land, what he was familiar with around him, and followed what God was saying to him. God interrupted Moses. After Moses fled from Egypt, he was busy looking after his father-in-law's sheep, Jethro. He was now married, and he was busy getting on with his life. God interrupted his life and said, come, I want you to go and deliver my people. They are suffering. They're in slavery. And he first tried to say, Lord, I can't do it. What will make them believe? So he had his fears. We all have fears, don't we? When it comes to doing things we are not familiar with. So he disrupted his plans and told him to go back to Egypt, where he didn't feel he was safe because of his past. But God had heard the people, the cry of the Israelites, and had seen their oppression and wanted to deliver them. God's eyes on his people all the time, all the time. And God can disrupt our lifestyle anytime, our way of life. Saul had an agenda to kill Christians and eradicate Christianity. But God disrupted his plans. When God interrupts you, he disrupted Saul's plan, who was going to eradicate Christians. But God disrupted his plan. When God interrupts our plans, it is to realign us with his will. And it's a sign that greater plans are on the way for us. So it's all right when God disrupts your plan. When God changes your agenda, your plans, it's all right. Fear not. I don't know about you, but I don't like change. When you're familiar with your place, your environment, and you have to move to another place and get familiar. Like now I'm in Upington. I'm so used to Upington now, I don't even want to leave Upington. I know my way around. I don't have to use the sat-nav to navigate from here to Bromley to Seven Oaks. I know my way around. I'm comfortable. So now if you tell me again, move, that is something. I don't know about you, but that's me. But when God speaks, who am I to say no? So while on the ship, there was a great storm that almost broke the ship. They were so afraid that they threw away most of the stuff that they had on the ship to lighten the ship. The captain of the ship went to Jonah, who was fast asleep. Can you imagine? This man is sleeping when the storm, when the boat is almost capsizing, breaking into pieces. The man was fast asleep. The captain asked him why he was sleeping when the sea was so rough. Who are you? What do you do? When you go to verse 9, he explained that he's a Jew and he's from he fears the Lord, the God who created the heavens and the earth. He explained to them who he was, and he knew that all this calamity was as a result of him disobeying. The captain said to him, rise and call upon your God, perhaps he will give a thought to us that we do not perish. These were non-believers. They didn't believe in God. They had their own gods. But now, they honored this God because they saw what was going on. They saw how powerful he was. So they say to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. The casting of lots can also be seen in Acts 1:26, when the disciples wanted to fill up the position that was left by Judas. They also cast lots, but they prayed. They didn't just rely on the lots, they prayed, so that God could show them who the right person was going to be that could replace the position that Judas had left. So Barsabbas and Joseph were nominated. They prayed to God, who knows the hearts of all men, to show them which one of the two men God would choose. So they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, who was enrolled with the 11 apostles. The sailors clearly knew that the relationship of the true God with Jonah was behind the calamity. Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but the decision is wholly from the Lord. So if you cast, you do this casting without God being in it, you may be misled. They asked Jonah, what shall we do to you so that the sea can calm down for us? The sea even grew more and more stormy. Then Jonah said to them, take me and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this disaster has come upon you. Amen? It is because of God that this calamity had come. It's because of Jonah. The men did not throw Jonah straight away into the sea. They kept trying to take the ship back. They're trying to use their own understanding to save this man, Jonah. But they could not, because the sea grew stormier. They begged God not to let them perish because of this innocent blood. They then took Jonah, eventually, when they felt defeated, and threw him into the sea. The true God is not limited to any geographical region. He is everywhere. He's the omnipotent God. He knows everything. He is omnipresent God. He can be and can act from anywhere. Our God is everywhere. He's in this room. He's in that kitchen when you're cooking. He's in that bathroom when you're having your shower. He's everywhere. There's nowhere we can hide from him. Jonah proposed his own death, probably to end his sadness of having to run away from God, or to save the ship and the sailors, because he knew his escape had failed. His plan had failed. Then the men feared the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah Yahweh, exceedingly, and they offered sacrifices to the Lord and made vows, meaning, Lord, if you save us, we will go and we'll offer sacrifices. These were people who didn't know God, but then when they saw what was happening, what had happened, they believed that this is the true God. Even though the Bible does not tell us whether these people really turned away from their idols, we don't know. The Bible is not clear on that. So if we want to God to use us, we have to have a listening ear. Dev has just finished the series on listening. Are we listening? What are we listening to? Let's pray for clarity. When we feel God is saying this is what you should be doing, we continue to pray for clarity, that God will show us exactly what he wants and make it clearer to us, because we are only human. Sometimes we don't know whether it's God speaking or it's me. So, but if we ask for clarity, you always clarify. Jonah did not ask God. He did not negotiate with God. But Moses did. Moses explained to him, said, how will they know that you are the one who has sent me? He went into serious discussion. And God had to give him everything to show, to make it clear that he's the one. He said, go, tell them, the I am has sent me. We should remain in him. By remaining connected, fears are eradicated. Our greatest fear is to go and tell people out there that Jesus is alive. We fear that because we fear rejection. We don't know how they're going to react. We don't know what the response we fear. But when we remain in him, fears are eradicated. John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you shall bear fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So the only way forward we can carry on this mission that God has called us to do is to just remain in him, remain connected. He's the vine. We are the branches. And the branches can't do without the vine. Because the vine is deeply rooted. And when we remain connected, we will stand firm and we will fear not carrying on God's mission. Wouldn't it be great to live in a community that's God-fearing? Sometimes I walk in this community, especially in the evening, in summer, I see a lot of youth around and it's scary sometimes. You don't know what they're up to. The first thing you think about drugs, think about knives, because that's what we hear on the news. They may be just being young people doing what young people do, but because of what we are hearing on news, what is happening around us, we are afraid even of our own young people. So if we had a community that fears God, we would see poverty reduced. We'd see crime reduced and many, many other problems that we have. The Boris Johnson government says that they are going to recruit 20,000 police officers to police our streets. What is that saying to us? That there is a problem. God wants us to be part of this. God wants us to help in our own ways. Can we help? Can we play our part? Our part is just very simple, just to go and tell them that Jesus is alive so that they can turn away from sin. September is drawing near. We have the Turning program coming up. It's a mission week. Dev has asked us to sign up, but I can see the list is still empty for us to be trained. I think they will be trained, and then after that we go to the streets and tell the people about this God that we serve. Are you ready? Have you registered? My name is not there. I should have registered as well. I'm guilty. Guilty. But let us try to do what we have to do in our own small ways. God loves everyone and wants to use them in their different giftings. In these floods around us, we have prophets, we have worshippers, we have children workers, we have sick people that need healing. So we've got to pray for them. If we meet them, we've got to show them the love of God. God does not want us to run away from him, but to run to him. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they are safe." The name of the Lord is a strong tower. When we run to him, we are safe. We are protected. We have the confidence that we need to carry on his mission. Some of their scribes and Pharisees say to Jesus, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But Jesus answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign shall be given except the sign of Prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here, and that is Jesus. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now something greater than Solomon is here. Let's look at the contrast between, let's compare Jonah and Jesus. Jonah was a prophet called to preach a message of repentance. Jesus was a prophet preaching a message of repentance. Jonah ran from the difficult calling God gave him. Jesus perfectly obeyed the Father's will and went to the cross. Amen. Jonah also slept on the ship during a storm caused by his own disobedience and offered up his life to save those on the ship. Jesus slept on a ship during the storm, calmed the storm, and would later offer up his life to save those who were disobedient. His presence is with us. He shall go with us because he has promised in his word. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we just want to say thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Lord, we are here. We are nothing without you. We are in need of a savior. We're in need of a savior for our community. We're in need of these people repenting, Lord Jesus. All of us, Lord Jesus, turning away from our ways to your ways. Father, we pray this morning that you speak to us so that we can hear that voice, that small, crystal clear voice saying, "Go." And we will answer, "Yes, Lord." Thank you, Jesus. Amen.